Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. Today is October 30th. And no, it's not the 30th, is it? It's October 29th. 10 a.m. here in Chicago, 4 p.m. in the UK. Welcome to Tom Harris Live, and we're back. Yes, the last show was about 3 weeks ago, and I thought about doing one last week, but a lot of stuff has been going on here, as always. It seems like I'm always busy. Whenever I try to do shows, especially lately, I'll kind of make tentative plans. You know, midweek, I'll start thinking, oh, man, you know, maybe I should do a show on Saturday, and then something will come up. And last week was kind of iffy anyway, thought about doing it, but we knew that we were going to be going to Gurnee. And for those of you who are not in the know, for those of you who are not amusement park aficionados, Gurnee, Illinois is the home of Six Flags Great America. And we hadn't been for a few years, Pete and I, and decided that last weekend, if the weather was going to behave itself, that we were going to go. And they have this thing every year around this time of year, the spooky time of year, called Fright Fest. And what they do is they kind of dress the park up for Halloween. And you have, you know, people wandering around in costumes trying to scare you. And they have lots of fake cobwebs everywhere and fake skeletons and all the stuff. It can be very creepy. And anyway, so that last weekend, that's what we did. And that's what I did instead of doing a show here. I set it up for an automated best of last week, but for some reason, it didn't go out. So that will be coming to you next week. I will not be able to do a show next week for various reasons. So that'll be a rerun next week. But for now, we're live. So hello, everybody. And it's been, like I said, a crazy week. The thing about amusement parks, I have to tell you, we don't go to them very often. And the reason why we don't go to them very often is twofold. I mean, first of all, is the expense. Because there's no such thing as a cheap amusement park anymore. Even the really run-down, ratty ones are still not cheap. And I understand the reasons for that. I understand that they have a lot of maintenance costs and all, you know, I understand all that. But you would think that they would go for volume rather than, you know, you see what I mean? They would charge a lower price to get more people through the gate. And which is not to say that, you know, Six Flags wasn't busy, because they were. They were busier than we thought they'd be. And the reason why we thought they might not be busy was because that we had a forecast of possible showers. And it was also not real warm. So we were thinking, okay, well, you know, we're going to get a lot of people staying away because they think it might rain. But as the morning wore on, and we kind of got a late start, and we didn't get there to the park until about noon, we realized that today, that day, that not today, well, today's nice too, but it was going to be a really good day for it. Yes, it'd be sunny and not too cold. And yeah, now today is actually a really gorgeous day out. We have a lot of sun, and it's chilly out, but it's basically this nice, crisp autumn weather that I love. I love this kind of weather. I wish it would stay like this all year round. The humidity I could do a little bit without. But the as far as the temperature goes, and you know, just generally the kind of weather we're having today, love it. Love it. It's a great day to get outside, and maybe doing a little bit of that later, but we'll see. I think Pete has something in mind that he wants to do today, or we're just going to run errands or something. I'm not really sure what's going to be going on. But now next week, I am probably going to be going on another one of my little road trips. And I've talked about these on the show previously, most notably when I've done them. And it's an extended geocaching trip, which means that I'll leave here after work on Friday. This is assuming, of course, that the weather is looking good. And I have to rent a car for this because I don't have a car. And what we would do would be to, or what I would do, because I don't think Pete would want to come, would be to leave here on Friday night after work, drive as far as Decatur, which is sort of in the middle of the state, a little north of the middle of the state, because I've covered the whole southern portion of Illinois already. and then go from county to county. And the idea is that you want to get a geocache in each county. And there's 102 counties in Illinois. And I think of those 102, I've covered a little more than half of them. So that's kind of what my plan is. And if the weather is great, then it's going to be a lot of fun. And if the weather looks like it's going to be really crappy, I'm not going to do it. So there's always the possibility that I'd be here next week doing another live show, but you never know. But this is the time of year to do these fall road trips, because now we're in the thick of autumn. End of October is a little bit later than normal for peak leaves, but we right now have absolutely gorgeous autumn leaves. And for those of you who live in places like Florida, where you really don't have autumn, it's where the leaves on the trees change from green to gold and red and yellow. And the overall effect is gorgeous. There was some of that going on, you know, last weekend and the weekend before when I was on my last little road trip. But this week, of course, is like the perfect weekend for it. So that's something that I really enjoy a lot of the time. Yeah, after a while, you set out on your journey in the morning. It's like, oh, the leaves are so gorgeous, and you're enjoying them all morning, and then by the time lunchtime comes around, you're just like, oh, man, you know, it's leaves, yeah, all right. Just kind of get sick of it. So that is kind of what's going on next weekend, hopefully. And if not, well, I might be back with another live show, maybe not. We'll see. It all kind of depends on what's going on, because it just seems like there's a lot going on lately. Anyway, I guess happy birthday to me. Had a birthday this past week. And, yeah, not asking for birthday greetings. I got plenty of you, and I know a lot of you out there who are listening to the show right now, emailed me on Facebook this past week telling me happy birthday, and I really, really, really appreciate that, folks. It's really nice to have people who you haven't heard from for a while, especially, you know, coming up and saying, you know, happy birthday. I mean, I even had a birthday message from Gary Burton.
Don't cut me off!
And, yeah, it was nice to definitely to hear from Gary, because, you know, he never calls anymore. He doesn't call anybody anymore. I don't know what he's doing now. Anyway, so that's what's going on. Oh, and I had to get a little bit into kind of something that happened to me 2 weekends ago while I was on my road trip. But I'm going to talk first, because I have an email here, and I've been holding on to it since the last show. And this email comes from our regular correspondent, Mr. James Bates. And James was not around for the last live show. It was done kind of on the spur of the moment. And, you know, so I sent him an email this week, James. And if you're out there, James, hello. And let him know that I was going to be on live this week. And James wrote, "Hi, Tom. Sorry I missed your live show. Let me know when you do another live one, and I hope to tune in." Yeah, I did that, James, so hopefully you're out there. "Hope the job does work out. As for the blogging thing in your job contract, there isn't that over here, but I bet it will soon, as there will be problems arising with social networks. As for mice in your place, sometimes people doing DIY, etc., usually activates them. And to be honest, apart from an exterminator, it's not going to be easy. Great show from James." Thanks, James. As for the mice, the mouse is gone, and I have not seen any signs of another mouse. So that is why I am still, to this day, mouse nemesis man. The mouse is dead, and I have not seen any other mice or signs of mice. The exterminator people were here, I think on Tuesday. But the, you know, because they kind of do this twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. And they come in and they you know, make sure that, you know, there's, you know, traps, or, you know, if there's any sign. They ask all the apartment people if there's any signs of bugs or anything like that. And I have to say, I have a lot less of that here than I've had in places in the past. I mean, the last place was pretty good, but we would occasionally get centipedes. But there's nothing you can do about centipedes, I've found. It doesn't matter what they do. Centipedes are just going to happen. Yeah, they're just going to be in your building, and there's really nothing you can do about them. And they don't really hurt anything, but they're just unpleasant. And I've not really seen, other than occasional centipedes. We had ants for a while, and those seemed to have kind of petered out. And not a lot of ants. They were only in one little part of the apartment over by the bathroom door. And I guess they were living in the door jamb or something, but they do seem to be gone now. And maybe that's a summer thing. Maybe during the fall they go dormant or something and we won't see them again until spring. I don't know. Anyway, enough about that. Okay, he's talking about the blogging thing in the job contract. Yeah, as you folks, as I was talking about 3 weeks ago, I was talking about my new job. And I'm still enjoying my new job, by the way. I'm not going to really talk about it, but I'm still enjoying that. And they have this kind of a blog policy where if you're doing blogs or, and I assume it extends to podcasts as well, that you have to say that, you know, these views are the views of purely your own views and not the views of your employer, et cetera, because especially for a show like mine, where I have a lot of content that maybe is a little bit controversial, then, you know, they don't want to be associated with that. You know, they don't want people to project that image onto the business that I work for, especially since, you know, we run retail stores and what I do has absolutely nothing with what most people are going to see of this business. What I do as a podcaster and as a blogger, whatever. So I would rather just not even mention the name of the company, though those of you who are on Facebook who are friends of mine on Facebook probably already know, because I've talked about it on Facebook. Anyway, I wanted to get into a little bit of political talk this week. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and do Today in History. Yes. Ian Duff's favorite segment of the show, Today in History. Hello, Ian, if you're out there. So, not very much today, actually. This seems to be a slow history day. October 27th in history. In 1682, William Penn landed at what is now Chester, Pennsylvania. William Penn being, of course, the person that Pennsylvania is named after. In 1889, Queen Victoria granted Cecil Rhodes the rights to Zambezia. I believe they later renamed that as Rhodesia. In 1923, Turkey declared its independence, and that was the successor state to the Ottoman Empire back following World War I. And, of course, we have Turkey to this day here. And 1929, biggest event probably for this day in history, Black Tuesday occurred on this day in 1929, stock market crash, which triggered the Great Depression. And, folks, you know, I don't know if we've learned our lesson from that. I mean, you look at the housing bubble and all that stuff that's going on, has gone on here, that's caused our economies to decline. I mean, a lot of that was the same kind of thing. You know, people messing around in the stock market who didn't have the knowledge to do it, didn't have the ability to do it. And a lot of it was caused by that. And the other thing that is kind of scary to think about is that a lot of this, the stock market crash in the 20s, was triggered in some senses by the inequality of wealth. And we have that in spades today, much more than we have at any point since the Great Depression. So, not encouraging. 1945, the first ballpoint pen went on sale 57 years after it was patented. It cost a whopping $12.50. In 1945, that was a lot of money. It would be like the equivalent of like an iPad today. I mean, it would a ballpoint pen would be, huge. In 1947, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands formed the Benelux Union. 1966, the Soviet Lunar 1 orbiter crashed on the moon. It was interesting because I was just having a conversation about the Lunar 2 orbiter the other day, because this was another one that crashed. And I had a phone call this week with my father because he called me to wish me happy birthday and all that. And he was saying that the lunar reconnaissance orbiter has found the wreckage of the Lunar Orbiter 2, and we've actually been able to find out, pinpoint exactly where it is, and actually, because of there were reflectors on it, are now able to beam a razor blade all the way to the moon. That's like Star Trek. No, you can shine a laser beam on this reflector and actually get a ref- reflection back. So the cool stuff. It's amazing, this Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. And they've been able now to map out all of the moon landing sites from the 60s, all the Apollo landing sites now. They have high-resolution pictures from orbit of exactly where the where the ship landed, where they ran around. You can see the trails of where the astronauts walked, and so much for those moon landing hoax people. Now we have photographic proof. I mean, you can actually look at where they walked and see the little trails where that they left. Anyway, boy, am I getting off on tangents today. Well, I guess that's good because it fills up space on the show. 1967, the musical Hair premiered in New York City. In 1969, the Supreme Court here in the States ordered an end to all school segregation at once. That process started, about 6 or 7 years before that. So, 1988, the Soviets had scheduled their first space shuttle launch, which was postponed, but I think eventually they did. I think they launched it once, and never launched it again. And you can find online pictures of the Soviet shuttles that are just kind of laying in ruins now. In 1993, Dow Jones Index reached a record 3,687.86. Yeah, that's interesting. 1994, the National Museum of the American Indian opened in New York City. 1995, wait, I didn't want to write that. Okay. In 2004, Osama bin Laden, in a videotaped statement, directly admitted for the first time that he had ordered the September 11th attacks. So take that, conspiracy theorist. That was on this date in 2004 that the bin Laden videotape admitted that he had ordered them. And in 2004, the European Union leaders signed the EU's first constitution. All right. Famous birthdays on October 29th include 1656, Edmund Halley, the astronomer who lent his name to Halley's Comet. And 1884, Bela Lugosi was born in Lugos, Hungary. Of course, best known for playing Dracula back in the 30s. In 1891, actress, comedian Fanny Brice was born in New York City. In 1897, Joseph Goebbels, Nazi propaganda minister, was born. In 1906, science fiction writer Frederick W. Brown was born. Yeah, I remember the only book I can name by Frederick Brown right offhand is Martians Go Home, which was kind of a juvenile sci-fi book. I used to like that book back when I was a kid. In 1940, mafia leader John Gotti was born. 1944, rock guitarist Denny Lane, who played with the Moody Blues and then later with Paul McCartney and Wings, was born. Also, another rock and roll birthday in 1944, Robbie van Leeuwen, the Dutch guitarist. I'm probably mispronouncing that completely. And Cyber John, you can correct me if I'm wrong there. He was the guitarist for the band Shocking Blue. 1945, singer Melba Moore was born. 1947, actor Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws, and among other things. And 1948, one of Charlie's Angels, Kate Jackson, was born in Birmingham, Alabama. 1957, actor Dan Castellaneta, who is Homer Simpson on The Simpsons, he was born in 1957. And in 1961, Randy Jackson was born in Gary, Indiana. He was one of the Jackson Five. So that is Today in History. All right. So much for the a smooth fade out there for the jingle. Anyway, I thought that jingle was a little bit loud. Anyway, so here we are, 20 minutes after the hour, and we are here on 1000 Mics Radio. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this trip that I took 3 weeks ago. And I've already talked about a little bit with the as far as the fall leaves and stuff. But something happened on this trip that I found really, really interesting. Now, a lot of you out there have heard about the Tea Party here in the States. And you've probably also heard, especially recently, about the Occupy movement. And it was interesting enough that 3 weeks ago, while I was out traveling around, I encountered both of these entities just in the course of my travels. And, I thought that that was really interesting because there seems to be, especially over the last few years, this kind of a fundamental dissatisfaction with generally the way things are going. And I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, you obviously, you know, the Tea Party may have started out as grassroots, but they were very quickly co-opted by the Republican Party in this country. They are a conservative movement, and they do not have anybody but conservatives who are part of this movement. The Occupy movement is a bit harder to pin down because they are not an AstroTurf movement. They were not created by a political action committee. More like groups of individuals, and there's no leader that speaks for the movement, etc. And what's really interesting is the contrast. I was traveling through Carbondale, Illinois. Now, Carbondale is the home of one of the universities here in Chicago, and I just passed through, and I saw the Occupy Carbondale rally going on. And I guess there's people there all the time, but this particular, it was a Saturday afternoon, there was a large group of people just kind of, holding placards, and, the placards are denouncing corporatism in the government. And they're talking about corporate greed and that sort of thing, and that is sort of the bread and butter of the Occupy movement. And it struck me that these people in the Occupy movement, I mean, it's almost hypocritical. In a way, it is hypocritical, but it depends on what you would consider hypocritical. I don't think that they're demonstrating against their own interests, but which would be the ultimate in hypocrisy. We'll get to that when we talk about the Tea Party. But it's interesting that they got these young people and a very diverse crowd, I must say, men and women and minorities and this kind of very broad section of society. And they looked like they were enjoying themselves and, they were having a good time while at the same time they were promoting this message, this anti-corporate message. I have to say, I have an admiration for this. The fact that they're getting out and expressing themselves. I've talked about this on my podcast in the past, that back in the 1980s, I organized a series of peace concerts. And these were a lot of the what we were protesting was the Reagan administration's policies in South America and Central America, and the terrorism that the Reagan administration was sponsoring in Nicaragua, and Honduras and places like that. And so I think it's always good, And of course, what did we have? What effect did we have on it? None. We had no effect on it. Not enough people were exposed to our message. But, I thought it was important anyway. Okay, well, let's do this. And if nothing else, well, we'll have a good time. If the message doesn't get out, let's enjoy this. Let's make our views known at the same time. Let's, have a laugh as well. And they were. And it's something that, thinking back to the mid-80s, I remember these things like they were yesterday. And I remember some of the people, like Richard, who has been on the show before, or he's sent mail to the show before. People like that who've been out there and good stuff, it was good times. But anyway, so the Occupy movement, like I said, they're enjoying themselves, they're getting their message across, etc. But how hypocritical is it to kind of rail upon corporatism while you were wearing your Nike sneakers and talking on your iPhone and drinking your Starbucks coffee? I realize that not all of those protesters are really anti-corporate and that they're really they're protesting this idea of corporate influence in our government, in our politics. But at the same time, they talk about, you know, greedy corporations. Well, if you don't want to feed the greedy corporations, don't buy that iPad. Don't buy that Starbucks coffee. The problem, of course, that you run into is that everything ultimately, all consumer goods ultimately, are basically owned by corporations. I mean, you could buy for, you know, you could buy food from small farmers, but, you know, if you want, you know, unless you're going to make your own, if you want mayonnaise, you're going to have to buy, like, you know, Hellman's or Kraft. Those companies are owned by big corporations. So there's, in a sense, there's no way to escape the corporatism in this day and age. And that's probably true nowhere more than in Europe, where you have these multinational corporations that span all of Europe. And it's the same way here. And it's the same corporations here a lot of the time. I mean, you know, we have Nestle here. I mean, they're based in what, Switzerland? You know, and they're everywhere. Yeah, we can get Cadbury chocolate here. Yeah, you know, and you know, here I think that they're distributed by M&M and Mars, but, you know, still. But, you know, so you have that, you know, that disconnect, I think. If you talk about corporate greed, but at the same time, you're feeding the beast because you're buying stuff. You're buying TVs. You're buying, you know, MP3 players. Actually, I have to talk about my iPod here a little bit later in the show. I am now an Apple user, but we'll talk about that later. Now, I want to contrast that, because that wasn't the only political rally I saw going on that Saturday. It was actually, I believe, a little bit earlier in the day. I passed through a little town called DuQuoin. That's DuQuoin in Illinois. And it's a small town. And I noticed as I went in, and I had to go there to buy gas. Yeah, gas for the rental car. And I was in there, and I saw a sign when I came into town said, Tea Party Rally, VFW Hall. Kind of a crude hand-lettered sign. And so, you know, of course, DuQuoin is not one of those towns where you can, you know, there's just basically the main road that goes through and a few side roads. And kind of the side roads are the residential areas. The main drag through is your shopping district where your fast food restaurants and your banks and so forth are. You know, not a very big town, but on my way out of town, I passed by the VFW where this Tea Party rally was going on. Now, folks, the contrast could not have been more profound. You know, whereas in Carbondale, you had this hugely diverse group of people, a lot of people, I would say over 100, you know, people. In DuQuoin, you had, in this Tea Party rally, five people who were doing this. It was supposed to go between 9 and 2 or something like that. And I was there kind of like right at 12 or 12:30. I mean, it was right kind of right in the middle of the height of when this thing should have been active. And what I saw there, what I saw in DuQuoin, were five elderly people, as it's three men and two women, sitting in lawn chairs holding signs. White people exclusively. I didn't see any minorities in that town. It's one of those towns that maybe they don't have very many people of color living there. And, you know, their signs said, you know, one of their signs said, you know, impeach Obama. One of their signs said, no socialism. And the other sign said, no NWO, which tells you something right there. And, you know, they're these old people sitting in lawn chairs and not, you know, they didn't look like they were having much fun, I must say, even though it was a nice day. It was a nice day to sit outside in lawn chairs. I wouldn't have minded doing that myself. But the contrast could not have been more apparent. And it struck me as well that they were hypocritical, because here's these elderly people. They're living in a town in southern Illinois, which is in a rural area surrounded by farms. And they say no socialism. Okay, as they collect their Social Security, as they collect their Medicare, maybe even Medicaid if they're poor. They're living in an area which is heavily subsidized with federal farm subsidies. They benefited greatly from such socialized programs as rural electrification. They couldn't do anything without our socialistic government highway system, state highways and national highways. You couldn't get to DuQuoin without going on state highways. Yeah, folks, I hate to say it, that's socialism. So basically, they're protesting everything that they owe their existence to. So of the two movements, Occupy and the Tea Party, which is more hypocritical? It's almost like I'm going to argue here, and that this is showing a bias. I admit this. This is showing a bias. I think that those Tea Party protesters are far more hypocritical because they're protesting against their own interest. You know, the things like Medicare and Social Security, these people were, you know, obviously old enough to be on. You know, they're protesting the things that make it possible for them to live the lives they do and make it possible for them to have that spare time to sit in front of the VFW with their signs. So, I don't want to preach too much about this. But I wonder if they even thought about it. You know, it's obvious that the Occupy people have thought about, at least most of them have. I don't know about all of them. I'm sure with the Occupy movement, there's a lot of people who kind of go along with it to have a good time, you know. But that's okay, too. And it's okay whether you're in the Tea Party or Occupy or whatever. It's okay to go along for the ride, just to have your voice heard. Even if you don't have a strong voice to express yourself, even if you don't have the ability to express yourself. And I just find it, you know, it's good. I think it's good in general for people to go out and protest, even if I disagree with your politics. But for God's sakes, people, protest about things that matter. Protest about things that are problems. Social Security isn't the problem. You know, Social Security is doing a lot of good, whereas corporate influence in our politics, on the other hand, is that doing good? You know, I think the answer is an open question. You know, the answer is a question. It is. It kind of is. It's not just me being inarticulate, as usual. So, interesting stuff there. Once again, if you want to Skype in the show, please feel free to do so. The Skype address is Tom Harris Live. Can't guarantee that I'll answer your call because I might not see it, but am I logged into Skype? Yeah, I am. Okay. Just making sure. More political news before I get into raving about my iPod is Rick Perry decides not to do any more debates. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, those of you who are in the States are aware that it's primary season with the Republican Party. They're trying to decide who's going to run for president against Obama in 2012. And one of the favorites of that race up until relatively recently has been Texas Governor Rick Perry. And Rick Perry and I, you know, Rick Perry is basically George W. Bush. He believes the same things. He, you know, is not even as smart as George Bush. He believes in creationism and public schools, and we would start lots of wars. He enjoys killing people through the prison system. It's basically a rerun of George W. Bush. And Rick Perry started out as kind of a superstar among the Republican base because they wanted him to run. They were really, we want Rick Perry to run. He's a dynamic individual. You know, he's the one who's going to save the country from the evil Obama. One thing became really apparent right after Rick Perry entered the race and he started doing these debates with the other Republican candidates. And I have to admit, they're not worth a pile of shit. Taken together, they're not worth a pile of shit. All of these candidates are terrible choices. Unless somebody else joins in, I don't see that they have a chance in the general election. But what's interesting is that what became really apparent with Rick Perry, as soon as he started opening his mouth, his popularity started dropping. And, you know, and it's not just because he's inarticulate and ignorant. It's because he flip flops, he's not consistent, and even the Republicans who are championing Rick Perry before he entered the race now are kind of distancing themselves, and he has dropped like a rock in the polls. And so I think it's interesting. Now what he's decided to do as the result of that is to not do any more debates. And I think that he just killed his candidacy. Because people want to hear what you think. And it's like, well, I'm just not going to talk to you anymore because every time I do, I go down in the polls. Well, congratulations, Rick. You just found a way to make them go down even faster. You know, at least I hope so, because I think he's a terrible choice, I have to admit. But then again, all of them are terrible choices. But I thought that was interesting nonetheless. All right, so let's move on here and talk about my birthday present, because I just have to, because Pete is awesome. My boyfriend is awesome. And I, as many of you know, because of all the many birthday wishes I got this week, I had a birthday this week. I am 49 now, which is kind of frightening. It's really frightening, actually. Once again, I'm even older than Chris Reardon. And that's ancient, folks. I don't think I'm as old as Ian, but yeah. And I wasn't really expecting anything, to be honest. I don't really celebrate my birthday. I really don't celebrate holidays at all. And I've talked about this on the show before. But I really don't even celebrate my birthday because I really don't see a lot of point. They do at my office. They actually got me a little snack tray thing at the office, and because I'm new, they really didn't know what I wanted, so they got chicken salad, which, yeah, okay, this is something I won't even eat. But we had Halloween candy and chicken salad on my birthday snack tray. So I hope that my coworkers enjoyed the chicken salad, because I didn't have any. Pete surprised me on the morning that we went to last weekend when we went to Six Flags. With a beautiful iPod Touch. And it's something that I had been, looking at. You know, we'd go to Best Buy, or we go to, Target, or, places like this. We'll go through the electronics section, and we look at the video games and whatever. And we're looking at various gadgets. And mostly it's Pete looking at gadgets, and I'm just kind of tagging behind him and looking. And for several years now, I've occasionally said, maybe I should get an MP3 player. Maybe that would be something useful for me. I could listen to music on the train. If it's something that plays games, I could play games on the train. And so started doing a little bit of that. And so Pete surprised me with his iPod Touch. And I have to say, getting it set up was a real pain in the ass, because they don't include any documentation of how to set it up. It's like they expect you to know instinctively how to set this thing up, and it's not instinctive. They don't say, well, in order to set this up, you have to reinstall iTunes on your computer. Now, I took iTunes off my computer some time ago because I was having problems with it. It was eating up a lot of memory on my system, even when it wasn't being used. And So I had to reinstall iTunes. they don't tell you that. They don't tell you, well, you have to reinstall iTunes, and then you have to plug it in, and then you have to do this, and you have to do that. The quick start guide consists of advertising. It's advertising the various features that I'll probably never use. But I have to say, once I had it set up, the thing is staggeringly easy to use. And downloaded a couple of games for it. Downloaded a jewel matching game, because I like that kind of casual gaming type of thing. And the other game I got for it was Angry Birds. And it's a cute game. I'm sure a lot of you out there know what Angry Birds is. It's a game where you have to knock down these structures that were built by these evil pigs. And the evil pigs are, I guess they're trying to take over Birdland or something. And the birds are, they have to go in and knock these buildings down. And you have different types of bird that have different abilities. And make it easier for you to knock down the buildings in certain ways. Anyway, I don't need to go any further, I think, to describe Angry Birds to you. But Angry Birds has been taking up a lot of my time, I have to say, on the train. It's like, get on the train, and I just boot that up. And, before I know it, I'm at work, or I'm at my stop, and I get time to walk to work from there. Loaded in all my music that I had on my computer. Not that I had a lot, but I think it came out to 300 songs or something. I know that sounds like more than it is. I think when you look at most other people's computers, you're probably going to find a lot more music on there than that. And I was able to... The nice thing is that when I do tedious tasks at work, like data entry. I do a fair amount of data entry in the course of the various duties that I perform, especially now going into end of month, I spend a lot of time doing these really tedious tasks of sorting data, and working with the spreadsheets. And I find that, turning a little bit of music on is great. Get the music on. That's perfect. Are we still on? Yeah, I guess we are. Okay. Just making sure. It's quiet out there, folks. You guys are being quiet today. So I'm there, and it's great. And, it's like Pete is just wonderful. I just love my boyfriend so much because, he gave me this beautiful iPod and I've come to really enjoy it. Now, that does not mean that I am going to become an Apple user. Yeah, you know what I mean. And Chris Reardon has talked about them on his show. These people who own Apple products who all of a sudden think they're hot shit because they own an Apple product. The iPod Touch is really nice, I have to say. But I don't think that it makes me a better person to have it. I mean, I go on the train and I see, people on the train every day who have an iPad or they have an iPhone or they have, an Apple laptop or they have all these other things. And I know that a fair amount of them out there probably feel pretty smug about that. But I don't. I mean, I actually try to hide mine because I don't I don't want to be robbed. That's kind of what... So I've been playing around a lot with the new iPod and gonna probably rip music from CDs onto my computer, so I can get more stuff. And it's been really interesting to have the iPod on shuffle while I'm at work and be able to do my business while just listening to music, and that's great. And I probably will be able now to start listening to podcasts at work as well, though. That isn't really as feasible with my new job as it was with my old job, because with my old job, I could listen to them and pause them while I walked away. I could listen to the podcasts on the speakers of the computer. And I can't do that at my new job because my speakers don't exist. I don't have speakers on my computer at work. They have it set up so you can't listen to music on the computers or any... anything. You can't listen to anything on the computer. And I suppose if you have if I had headphones, I could play a CD in it, but it's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not even sure that the software is on the computer to do it because of the way our system is set up. We really are accounting computers. They're not set up for games. They're not set up for anything else. I can get on the web, but I have to do that for work. Communicating with various utilities companies and occasionally other research questions that come up, but the phone companies and electric companies and water and sewer for the various municipalities where we have our stores. And that's kind of what I use my computer for other than my accounting work. But anyway, That is going to be that's going to be it about the iPod. So anyway, this is your chance to call in if you want to call in. Once again, the Skype address is Tom Harris USA. No, it's Tom Harris Live is the name of the thing. I think you can all you can also find it under Tom Harris USA. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. Anyway, add me to Skype and feel free to Skype in if you like. And we could talk about this or that for the last 14 minutes of the show. And I don't know what I'm going to be doing after the show. This is kind of a weird thing because I have this open weekend now. And I believe that Pete is planning on coming over sometime today. But I really don't know because we haven't really talked about it that much and what exactly we're going to do. It's the first time in a while that I really haven't had anything in mind. So I feel like I'm at loose ends just because the weekends have been so busy up until now. And then this weekend is going to be kind of a time to chill and not do much. And I'm kind of looking forward to a little bit of relaxation. Probably not any geocaching this weekend just because I don't think I really have time for that. But maybe get together with Pete and all that. So that's what I'm hoping. And let's see if there's anything going on. Now, I'm tempting fate here, folks. I'm actually going to go and look at the chat because I'm not really even sure how to do that. But we'll go click on that and see make sure that we don't get kicked off the air. And I think I just messed things up. Yeah, no, we're still on the air. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any comments in the comments. Nope, no comments. I guess nobody's listening today. Because last time there were comments going on in the channel, and we had we had Suco and we had Sizemorg and we had Scott Coles and we had somebody else in there. Just all kind of chatting amongst themselves. And it was great to see after the fact, but it was after the show that I actually noticed what was going on. And so I didn't have a chance to kind of step in and kind of talk to the people in chat. And that's one of the things that I kind of miss, you know, about doing the show on United Kingdom Radio, is that we always had a lot of activity going on in Skype. And so people would you know, talk in Skype and I'd be able to read out their comments. And, you know, that's not something that has been happening much with these shows on Thousand Mics. Incidentally, I'm really pleased that we haven't been disconnected yet. I've changed browsers, incidentally. And maybe this has something to do with it. Because I noticed that following the last update to Firefox, it became a real memory hog. It was terrible. It was taking up just an enormous amount of memory to keep Firefox running. And what I decided to do is for the purposes of the show and also for the purposes of streaming media, because that was affected by the Firefox update as well. I was finding it more difficult to watch my porn. No, not porn. Well, maybe some porn, but mostly the stuff like YouTube, you know, watching YouTube and stuff like that. It was slowing everything down, and it was really herky jerky, and I admit I have an ancient computer. My computer is older than Mikey Holt, you know. Well, not really, but my computer's from 2001. For a computer that is old, you know, that's a decade-year-old computer, and eventually, sometime in the not too distant future, I'm probably going to be upgrading. Getting a new computer, but for right now, I don't know. Anyway, what I was saying is I've changed my browser now to Chrome, and that's Google's browser. And there's a lot of good things I like about it. For one thing, that it doesn't take as much memory. It has the same functionality as the other browsers, really. The one thing I don't like about it is the interface. It's a pain in the butt as far as your interface goes. Don't like that at all. And so I'm just still getting used to it. But for some things, for example, for doing the show or for watching stuff on YouTube, it really is a lot easier. So I'm enjoying it. I guess I have to say I'm enjoying it. So I'm going to go ahead and call out. Let's see if Cyber John is here, is available, and if he is willing to have a little chat with us here. I'm not sure if he's actually on or not, but we'll find out. You know, I thought I had so much stuff to talk about on the show today, and I guess I've been yammering on. See if Cyber John will call in if he wants to call in and chit-chat for the last 10 minutes of the show. So that is what's going on. So, yeah, so what am I going to do? Cyber John's not even listening. Here I've been yammering away for the last 50 minutes. and he's not even listening. Hopefully that'll Cyber John's calling. Surprise, surprise, it's Cyber John. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I'm tired. I've just done a marathon stint on the old audio mixing and stuff for tomorrow's Suco Sullivan Halloween show.
Ooh, that's exciting. That Suco is over on Reach On Air.
That's the one.
So
we try and give you our short plug as well. But she's good. She's doing pre-records, but there's a lot of content this week.
Good.
Just finished a special ghost paranormal activities on a most haunted place in England.
Ooh, now where's that? Where's that in England?
Well, this is the funny thing. Everybody thinks it's Tower Bridge the Tower of London or somewhere like that, because it's got six versions of Eleanor of Aquitaine walking around. But it's actually near my hometown of Preston, near Manchester. And it's the oldest inhabited stone building in England, called Chingle Hall. Even the name sounds spooky.
Yeah. Seriously, it sounds like Christmas.
Well, it comes from the name Singleton, and it was built by a knight in about 1260. But the number of different weird things, it's got poltergeists, it's got candles that appear out of nowhere and turn off, it's got the old traditional orbs that people go ranting on about, and it's got murdered women and children and all kinds of things going on there.
Do they call it Chingle because that was the noise that the knight's armor was making when he was building the thing?
No, it would have been called Clanky Hall.
Oh. Well, if he was wearing chainmail, though.
Of course. How are you tonight, anyway, sir?
Doing quite well. I've been yammering on for the last 50 minutes, and you weren't even listening.
I didn't. Your name didn't even come up on the old Skype that you were around. New Skype is utter pony.
Oh, see, this is why I don't use new Skype.
Yeah, you've gone back to 4.20 or whatever.
I've never gone to the new Skype because this is back when I was doing the live show every week. I was having so much trouble with the new Skype, and so I just I keep a download of the old version, and if it updates my Skype automatically, I just reinstall the old.
I've done that. It's reinstalled this morning when I didn't want it to. You know what they're trying to do, Tom? They're basically trying to stop people from finding... You know, there was this find function on Skype. We could find anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. And what we're wanting to do is we're getting complaints, especially in America, about dirty old men trying to contact nice young ladies, that kind of thing.
Ah.
So now you can only add them on Skype or find them if you've got a Gmail account. Or MSN account, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. I don't. So, where's that function? Where's I want to be able to find people.
Contacts, dirty old man, find. That's the one. No, it's young ladies find. It's under contacts.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna go around now looking for young ladies and.
I hope it's not intuitive, is it? That the whole Skype thing has never been. Something you can just dip into. Oh, that's how I get a video going, and oh, that's how I block this weird guy who keeps calling me and that kind of thing.
Right, right. Well, I never get calls. So unless I'm doing a show, I'm not getting calls generally.
So are we going to have you on a regular basis on the old Saturday?
We're going to have me on an infrequent basis for now. But as we get into the winter and the weather starts getting less nice to hang around outside, I might start doing shows, if not every week, then at least every other week. But we'll see.
Super. What have I missed for the last 50 minutes?
We talked about politics. We talked about driving around and looking at fall leaves.
Always nice. Nice.
Yeah, perfect this time of year. Talked a little bit about my job again. I don't even know what I've talked about. Oh, I talked about, I did Today in History. That's a little recap. Now, coming up in the next live show, which I don't know when that's going to be, probably 2 weeks from now, but definitely not next week. I am going to start talking about Italy. So if anybody out there has thoughts on traveling in Italy, they should feel free to email me at tom@tomharrisusa.com, and we can read your comments out on the show. I have two friends right now, interestingly enough, two friends who are traveling in Italy or have just returned from Italy.
Right.
So that has kind of inspired me to kind of go back to doing these travel segments again. And so next show will definitely be connected with traveling in Italy.
I'd like to know what people's thoughts are on the different foods. There's like a hierarchy, I think. Around the near of Italy in particular, pizza is king.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you can't get a lasagna down there. It's very strange. Everybody thinks, lasagna, Italian. No. Around Napoli and Naples and Salerno, they don't do it. It's just not a local dish.
Yeah, I think that's more in the north, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Milanese, definitely.
Okay, yeah. And it's odd because, you know, what we think of here in the States as being Italian food, a lot of that is Sicilian.
A melange of what we think is Italian is actually regional. It's local. It's not a national dish.
Right, right, yeah. And we, of course, we have in the States, you know, we had a huge influx of Sicilian people coming to the States, and that's where we have a Little Italy here in Chicago, which is actually one of the more famous Little Italies in the country. And, you know, this was all founded. Of course, my boyfriend's parents, you know, his father grew up there, you know, because his father came from Bari, you know, and so, I mean, he's second generation American.
So what is an Italian, what is a Sicilian dish as opposed to an Italian one?
Like, what we would think of as pizza in America is Sicilian style.
Is it flatter?
No, it's less flat.
Hmm.
It's breadier and thicker.
As long as they don't start putting cheese inside the crust,
It depends on where you get it, because you get it in the prepackaged ones. It's it's not that good, but
okay.
Yeah, but
in England we buy pizzas made in Holland, which are okay. The Freschetti, I think, is a nice one.
Okay.
Supermarket one. I mean, the naff, really. But if you try to buy a pizza in Holland, you've got absolutely no chance of getting something that doesn't have a Turkish kind of spiel going on. You know, we're going to put some kebab meat on it. No, I want a pizza. I want quattro stagioni. No idea what that is.
Well, sir, it's time for me to go.
Oh, that's a shame. So give me a call in 2 weeks. I'm off to Bruges.
Oh, have fun in Bruges. Beautiful city.
Yeah, it's medieval and it's got lots of chocolate.
Awesome. Sounds like a perfect city to me. All right. Well, thanks very much for calling, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.